Today we will end our series on the church, the different names and references about the church. So this is what I call the part, the church, part 13. So I will read one verse from Ezekiel 28, and then a few verses from the book of Revelation. So from Ezekiel 28, verse 13, the word of the Lord. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle. And crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. Then we go to Revelation 2, chapter 2, verse 7, one verse. And it's part of Christ's announcement to the church in Ephesus. The word of the Lord. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Excuse me. I have this persistent cough. And then from Revelation chapter 22, the first five verses, the word of the Lord. Then the angels showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. God our Father, the Holy Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of all the Old and New Testament so that your word is without error and cannot be in error. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge him as Lord. So we ask that you send your Spirit now to give us light, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the gospel and his kingdom. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, let me read this quote. But if you get up in the morning and read this headline, Russia attacks Israel, fasten your seatbelt because you're seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled in your lifetime before your very eyes. End of quote. This is Greg Laurie harping again on false, long discredited, repackaged dispensational prophecies based on the unbiblical premise that the nation Israel today is still God's chosen people. But even in the New Covenant, every war in the Middle East means the rapture is near, which is what these false prophets have been predicting for over 100 years, much like today's and 100 years of climate change hoaxers. All these prophecy experts still teach that there are two peoples of God, Israel and the church. And this is totally contrary to the Bible's teaching that there is one people of God since our Lord Jesus Christ arrived on the scene. This one people is the church, made up of both Jews and Gentiles from all nations, tribes, and languages of the world. Jesus himself prayed before his death. He said, praying for his disciples, that they may be one, referring to his Jewish disciples and to Gentiles, those who will believe in me through their word. Paul also wrote, Christ has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, meaning the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Peter also declares that God's people is a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Therefore, this one new man is the one holy universal church, not two churches or two peoples of God. The current war in the Middle East takes us back to the early church, when Rome was overrun and plundered by the Visigoths in 410 AD. Before this attack, Christians looked at Rome as the eternal city. But after this attack, the great theologian Augustine corrected this error, writing in his book, The City of God, that the eternal city is not any eternal city or nation, but the kingdom of God, which will stand forever. All earthly cities would rise and fall, because all earthly cities are founded by sinners. In 1667, the poet John Milton wrote his epic poem, Paradise Lost, lamenting the corruption and tyranny of King Charles I of England and the Anglican Church. He traces this evil state of affairs back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin, plunging the whole human race into sin and death. Then, 4 years later, in 1671, Milton wrote a kind of a sequel, The Much Shorter Paradise Regained. So, Paradise Lost and then Paradise Regained. It centers around the spiritual victory of Jesus over Satan in the wilderness. So, with Adam's disobedience, paradise was lost. But with Jesus's obedience, paradise is being regained. And this is what our scripture texts teach. The Garden of Eden was God's garden temple, paradise, and Adam and Eve being the first church. But Adam and all human beings were driven out of this paradise. They and us lost this paradise. But when Christ came, living a perfectly sinless life, dying on the cross for the sins of his people, and raising himself up from the dead, there is now a way into this lost paradise. In this paradise regained, there is this tree of life, who is Christ, who gives living water, who gives the bread of life, and is the light of the world. In this paradise regained, the paradise of God, God's one people, one church, will finally have eternal rest, dwelling with God and Christ forever. So therefore, our theme today in this, the last sermon on our series on the church, our theme is The Church, Part 13, Eternal Rest in the Garden of God. And we have four headings, which you may follow in our sermon notes. So first, there is the river of the water of life. So this last sermon will take us full circle back to the Garden of Eden, where we started, and on the future paradise of God, the new heaven and new earth, the eternal city. As in almost all of the book of Revelation, symbolism abounds in Revelation 22. There we find the crystal clear river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Christ. It provides water for life, of all the inhabitants of the city. The Apostle John is merely referencing Jesus' proclamation that he is the living water who gives eternal life to all those who believe and trust in him. From his conversation with the Samaritan woman and from John 7. In Isaiah 55, the Lord invites you and everyone who hears, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So God invites everyone to come to be united to his Son Jesus Christ in faith, who is the living water. And this drink is freely given to all those who come to him in faith. No amount of good works would be sufficient to receive this eternal water of life, only by faith in Christ alone. So friends, if you haven't done so, come to Christ and receive eternal life only by faith alone in Christ alone. So he, Christ himself, invites you. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, you know, the water from the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. He will lead you beside still waters, where your thirst for righteousness will be fully and perfectly satisfied forever. To those of you who believe in Christ, your blessed hope is that beyond your earthly sufferings and afflictions waits eternal rest in the glorious eternal living water in the heavenly city, the paradise of God. And in that heavenly city, there also awaits the tree of life. So that is our second point, the tree of life. So where is this tree of life? It reappears in the paradise of God, a paradise that is different from the ancient paradise, the Garden of Eden. This paradise is what John Milton calls paradise regained or paradise restored. The Garden of Eden was created in perfection, in which our first parents, Adam and Eve, dwelt. They were also created in perfection. But this ancient paradise is not the paradise of God in Revelation 2:7. This ancient Eden was still susceptible to corruption, and that was what actually happened when Adam fell into sin. Not so with the future paradise of God in Revelation 2:7. It will be perfect for eternity. It will never be corrupted. Not only will everyone in paradise regained enjoy perfect holiness forever, their hunger for righteousness will also be finally and perfectly satisfied. Who will give them this satisfaction? Only Christ, the bread of life, who came down from heaven. Again, he invites all of you. John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And this bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So if you come to him in faith, you will receive the living water and the bread of life forever. And this is also what Isaiah looked forward to. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. No amount of good works will suffice to receive this bread of life, for it is given freely for all who have faith in Christ alone. The bread of life will come from the tree of life on both sides of the river of the water of life. So, are there two trees of life? Then, this does not mean that there will be two trees of life in the eternal paradise. Rather, it only means that the tree of life will be everywhere in the holy city, whether you're on one side of the river or on the other side or anywhere. We know this because the tree of life never ceases from bearing fruit for feeding God's people in the new paradise. And God's one people will be everywhere, from all nations, tribes, and languages, who have been healed from sin and death through the precious blood of the Lamb. So to those of you who believe in Christ, your blessed hope is that beyond your earthly afflictions and sufferings waits eternal rest in the glorious bread of life in that blessed heavenly city. So thirdly, in that blessed heavenly city, no longer will anything be accursed. Adam and Eve and all their descendants came under God's curse because of sin. Not so with paradise regained. It will forever be the blessed heavenly country. For it is written in Revelation 22:3, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. So all who enter paradise regained will be perfectly righteous, because God will give them the perfect righteousness of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And they will forever be perfectly righteous, because Satan and all his angels and his dominion will not be able to enter into this city, unlike in the Garden of Eden. For Satan and all his angels and his dominion will already have been thrown into the lake of fire forever. So who are those accursed people who will be excluded from paradise regained? So we read in Revelation 22:15, outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. These are not literal dogs, but dogs and also pigs represent whatever and whoever is unholy and unclean. So those on this list of accursed, unrepentant sinners are a mirror of those who violate the Ten Commandments, the sexually immoral, who practice homosexuality and transgenderism, murderers who abort and behead infants, who massacre everyone, men and women, children, and the elderly, who do not belong to their evil religion, idolaters who worship money, power, sex, and fame, politicians, celebrities, teachers, professors, and even pastors who teach all kinds of wicked lies and heresies in order to deceive for shameful gain of money, power, and sex. These are those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Since there is only heaven and hell in eternity, and since they will not be in heaven, their destination is only the lake of eternal torment. But you who belong to Christ by faith, in your earthly sins, sufferings, and afflictions, look forward and upward for your blessed hope, your eternal rest. For we read in verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes with the blood of Christ, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. And lastly, in this city, there is no need for light of lamp or sun. Yesterday, after our Bible study at about 9:15 in the morning, we went out the door, and lo and behold, there was an eerie kind of light that was different from sunrise or sunset. The sun was peeking from the clouds, but it was not daylight. And so when I looked at my phone, I saw all kinds of pictures of the annular solar eclipse. Okay, so that was the eerie, weird kind of light. All the earth, all creatures, all mankind need light. If there was no light, the earth and all and everything in it will die. This is why the first act of God in creation was to create light amidst the darkness of the unformed and empty darkness. In the ancient paradise, Adam and Eve enjoyed the beauty and bounty of the earth during the light of day and rested in the darkness of night. But we learn from Revelation 22:5 that in paradise regained, night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Can you imagine a world where there is no light of sun, moon, and stars? We might think it will not be as beautiful as our present world. But can there be any light that is more glorious, more radiant, and more splendid, that light that shines directly from God and Christ? So the heavenly lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars, are only a tiny reflection of God's light, that no human words can describe his glory. When our Lord came down from heaven, he was the light of life of all believers. He proclaimed in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Darkness will be gone forever, which means that sins, sufferings, and death represented by darkness will be gone forever. In paradise regained, we will walk in God's glorious light, resting in the light of life, in the light of the world forever. So, beloved Christian friends, as we close this series on the church, let us remember the words of the Belgic Confession, Article 27. This church has existed from the beginning of the world and will last until the end. The church began in ancient paradise, Adam and Eve being the first congregation. It was preserved by God in Noah's Ark, in Abraham's descendants, in Israel, in Egypt, in the wilderness, and in the Promised Land, and through David's kingdom. Then came the son of David, who has promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. Our Lord confirmed this promise with his victory over Satan and death at the cross and in his resurrection. This covenant promise of eternal life in an eternal heavenly paradise regained is confirmed whenever we partake of the food and drink in the form of the bread and cup he offers to all who are united to him in faith. As our bread from heaven and living water, Christ alone satisfies our hunger and thirst for righteousness in the paradise of God and gives us eternal rest in green pastures and still waters.